a brother friend of mine named John Kim has a, he happens to be in town. They live out in Kansas City, and he has a ministry out there, and I asked him to come and share with us this morning about that. He's a friend of mine. I want you to listen to him. So, Brother John Kim.
Thank you.
And this is his fiancée, Victoria.
Yes, Victoria.
Just thought I'd make sure. She's one over there dancing with our kids.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, brother. Okay, son. All right, I'd like to just say a prayer. Would you join me in prayer? Father, in the name of Jesus, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to glorify Jesus. The hour has come to glorify the Son. So, yeah, we ask for spirit wisdom and revelation to come upon us now, Lord, that we would open up our hearts to encounter you, Lord. Thank you, that we may worship you even more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, I'd like to read from Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, Amen. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. What's on the Father's heart is this, his son to be glorified on earth as he's being glorified in heaven. You know, the Lord said he gives grace to the humble. Our King became a slaughtered lamb. And he went to clean, you know, wash people's feet, but also he went all the way down to hell to pay for it all. It is finished, yeah.
Amen.
And you know, I grew up in the church, and I thought I just needed to be a good Christian. And God called, you know, I was trying to pray every day and read my Bible and all. And then I went to seminary to be a pastor. And while I was being a pastor, you know, I thought, wow. You know, I guess later on I realized, man, I'm like the Pharisee. And I was convicted this morning. I'm like the Pharisee because I'm walking in my self-righteousness, you know. Like, I go up to the Lord, I feel I often, like, yeah, I'm praying night and day at, you know, IHOP Kansas City, and I'm reading the Bible, praying and all this, and, you know, and I'm thinking I'm better than other people. And then this morning at the Bible study, you know, our pastor said, you know, if you don't think you deserve to go to hell, you can't be saved. And I thought, wow, because that convicted me, because this one time when I was a, you know, youth pastor, I was praying. I thought, God, you know, I feel, would you show me, you know, what you want to show me? And he showed me that I exaggerate, I lied to somebody to impress them, to make myself better than I am.
Yep.
And then he showed me that I was looking lustfully at a girl, you know, and I thought, well, these are, you know, minor sins and all. But I saw sin as God saw it, and the fear of the Lord came upon me, and I realized, oh my gosh, I'm a sinner, and I these sins deserve me to go to hell. And then I had a vision while I was praying where there was a huge hole underneath me, and the weight of my sin was pulling me down, and I couldn't do anything but to fall,
right.
You know? And as I was going down, I thought, oh my gosh, if I go in there, I'll never come out.
Right.
I had no hope until I felt a hand grab me and pull me up, and that was the hand of Jesus.
Amen.
And if it wasn't for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, yeah, I'd be down there because that's what I deserve.
Amen.
And I didn't get it until he really revealed it.
Right.
You know? And then this other time, I had this other vision where I was asking the Lord, am I going to make it in the end times? And I was on that beach. And as I was standing, this huge tidal wave, a tsunami came at me. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to be a goner. You know, but suddenly a cross appeared before me. And that cross was a shield that, you know, that stopped. It was a shield. You know, and I thought, whew. I said, okay, Lord, where are you, Lord? And then I looked in front of the cross, and there was Jesus. And I didn't see his face or anything, but his arm. And guess what? It was going like this. And I thought, oh my gosh, Lord, you know, thank you for being my shield.
Amen.
You know, for the wrath of God that I, you know, deserved. I should die, but he was a substitute, you know,
right.
Isaiah 53. And like he was a shield. And I thought, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I got it. Not just here, but here. Oh my gosh, what he did for me. And I guess I want to share also this other vision where I saw Jesus on the cross. I was on a beach, and suddenly all this water came up. And pretty soon I saw him like on the bottom of the ocean. He was dead, and he was all alone. I mean, just loneliness. You know, what is that? What'd you say? Death is separation.
Right.
And I realized he was cut off from people. He was cut off from his father.
Yep.
And he was so abandoned. And you know, Jesus was like the orphan of all orphans.
Right.
You know, if you feel rejected and orphaned and fatherless, he knows how you feel.
Amen.
And I saw, my gosh, in that vast ocean, he was just there alone. And I realized, man, he took that for us.
Amen.
Because we would have been separated from the father, from one another. And then I saw, closer up, the Lord showed me, there was bubbles coming out of his mouth. And when I looked closely at the bubbles, there were people, lives that he saved, you know? And then it went up to the surface, and then the bubbles bursted, and there was a mountain and a white castle, and the river went up, and it was carrying these people up there. And then in the castle, in this palace, I saw the father and son hugging each other, like, I guess it was after the cross, they were united. And then, I think it was the father or the son, he went like this, and one by one, these souls lined up. And then they came right into his hand, and he went right on the top of their head.
Amen.
And they went, and they were blown into the harvest field.
Amen.
And there was a huge golden wheat harvest field, but there was fire coming too. And then these wheat that were bundled with the blood of Jesus, there was blood going around in a circle, and also they were bowing down in humility. When the fire came, they weren't touched, but everything else got burnt.
Right.
And then finally, I saw a little wheat, a kernel of wheat, fall to the ground. It perished, but after that, it sprouted life.
Right.
Okay.
Amen.
Going back to the first vision, when I saw that, you know, Jesus was shaking on the cross, I just felt instinctively that I need to go like this. And I said, come, everyone. Come behind Jesus and the cross.
Right.
And people were running, and they, you know, lined up, and we were just having a line of cross. People
Amen.
Behind Jesus living a crucified life.
Amen.
And, you know, when we die, he lives. Yeah, and when we die, you know, deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him, there's resurrection life.
Right.
There's no way but through death
That's right.
with him, you know.
That's right.
And so, through these encounters with the Lord, I realized, man, how worthy he is. He's
Amen.
Worthy of being with him 24 hours, you know. And so the Lord had called me to go to Kansas City where they have 24/7 meeting with the Lord. You know, it's nonstop because he's worthy. And a couple months ago, the Lord told me that he wanted me to go to the night watch, which is midnight to 6 a.m., okay? You know, and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I have a busy day schedule, and to do that, it's going to mess my life up. But the thing is, I went to a Chinese restaurant, opened a fortune cookie, and it said, the nightlife belongs to you. I grabbed another fortune cookie, went home, and opened it, and it said, the nightlife belongs to you. And And so, but you know, I didn't want him to mess my life up. But the first night that he, you know, I felt like he was telling me to do the night watch, I resisted and I slept instead. And the next day, my dad and I had a huge World War III conflict. And so it was like really, oh my gosh, it was like, oh my gosh. Anyhow, so next night, I yielded to the Lord, and I did 6 hours, and He gave me so much grace, and it was sweet to spend 6 hours with others in the night watch at IHOP. And it's like, wow, I felt like it was a honeymoon time that I could spend unhurried time before Him. And wow, I was, you know, and then later on that night, or I mean that day, I met with my dad, and he said, I'm sorry. He repented for the, you know, anger and flare-up and all. And I know I did a part two. But then he took me to Costco, and I had like a little shopping spree there because he was so generous. But anyhow, but so the Lord, you know, was making it clear. He wanted me to do the night watch. So I've been doing like, well, originally six nights, you know, waiting on the Lord with other people. And it's both been really joyful, but also it's been very challenging because physically, I haven't been getting much sleep and all, but it's worth it. You know, he paid the cost. This one time, the Lord said, John, not just a part of your heart, but all of your heart, not just a part of your life, all of it. And then I saw Jesus going to the cross, and I realized He gave it all. How much does He love you? This much, this much, this much? No, He loves you this much. And He's worthy of this much,
right?
You know, of
Amen.
Us.
That's right.
And so, and as you, yeah. And so, so I, you know, I've been yielding to Him to do the night watch, and I feel like it's really important to do the night watch. Part of it is I feel like He's going to come at night. He comes like He says He's coming like a thief in the night, and also it says in the midnight hour the bridegroom. There was a voice that said, you know, the bridegroom is coming. And also when they refer, Jesus says, a day when the hour, the day where no one knows the day or the hour, you know. It's referring, from what I understand, it was Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the new year, when the kings are crowned, and they're looking up at the sky to see if it's a new moon. And if you see a little sliver, that's the new moon, the beginning of a new month, you know. And then the Lord did great things in the night, like from 3 a.m. The fourth watch is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. And that's where He parted the Red Sea. And that's when He walked on water. You know, and I feel like there's an open heaven. And someone said this, those who watch by night will rule by day. And you know, the enemy is doing a lot of wicked things at night and causing sinners to sin wickedly. And even the witches and the warlocks, they get together, I heard, around 3:30 a.m. to come together and try to sow into the spirit realm. And so I feel like what's important is, you know, the night watch, and He's worthy of both day and night worship. But so part of it is I feel like the Lord's saying, my Son is coming, bride, get ready, you know.
Amen.
And actually I feel like God connected me with Victoria. And He's helping me understand about that we're right now engaged to Jesus, but there's a wedding to come. But we have to always keep Him, you know, we have to repent and keep Him as our first love.
Amen.
And not His hands, but His face. And, I like what our sister shared, you know, that we can go for Him for us rather than for Him, you know. And the other thing is before He returns, He says, in Matthew 23, that you will only see me again when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And He's speaking to Jerusalem, and I believe to Jewish people in Jerusalem. And so we know that part of it is that He's the King of Jerusalem and Israel. And you can't be a king without land and people. And so the Lord's, He's saving a lot of Jewish people because there needs to be a Jewish bride in Jerusalem that welcomes Him back, saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But the devil is trying to prevent that by trying to kill off the Jewish people, you know, all the terrorist things about, you know, let's destroy Israel. and but the gospel is going forth to the Jews and to the Gentiles, and so I feel like God's called me and to say, you know, it's time of John the Baptist, Luke 1. If you go to Luke 1, Luke 1, and I'll just kind of close with this. Yeah. I'll just read 13 to the 17. Yeah. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Yes. So he's releasing spirit of Elijah for restoration of marriages, of family, because the son's coming as a bridegroom for his bride, but also ultimately the father is going to come back with to his children. Yeah, so I don't know. So should I pray or something? Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your incredible sacrifice, God, that you would abort your son so we wouldn't be aborted, that you would orphan your son, that everything that we deserve, you put it on the Lamb that's so blameless. We say, we agree with heaven. Worthy are you, Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Lamb of God. Yes, all honor and glory and power and blessing be unto you.
Yes.
Oh, Holy Spirit, we partner with you in raising up wise virgins, a bride worthy and ready and holy and blameless for the bridegroom, for the wedding supper of the Lamb. Lord, we ask right now you would raise up the watchmen for Jerusalem, Israel, Lord God. Lord, that would partner with your heart in seeing Jews become saved, Lord, and the city of Jerusalem prepare for the King of glory to come, Lord. Yes, Lord. And I pray for Spirit Elijah, Lord, to come upon this congregation to this region, Lord God, for restoration of family, Lord, and especially returning as a family back to you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.